We turn in God's Word this morning to John 11, John's Gospel account, chapter 11. We're going to read the first 46 verses of this chapter. Verses 17 through 46 will make up our text this morning. John 11. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that he said, The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. And when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. And many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees, and told them what things Jesus had done. This far we read God's word. As I mentioned, our text is found in verses 17 through 46 of this chapter. Christ was a wanted man. The elders of the people, the Sanhedrin, hated Jesus and sought to kill him in whatever way they could. Their open hostility toward Jesus was a well-known fact among the people. Their disputes with him and their attacks on him were evident to everyone who had witnessed these. And for this reason, Jesus had made himself scarce during the last few months of his earthly ministry. After finishing his final tour of Galilee, Jesus traveled into Syrophoenicia and there ministered to the people for a time. Until, of course, it was time to celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacles in Jerusalem. Then Jesus left this region, north of Galilee, traveled very briefly through Galilee along the way, and then ended up in Jerusalem at the Feast of the Tabernacles. There we find that a number of times the wicked Jews tried to stone Jesus to death. Rather quickly after the Feast of the Tabernacles, Jesus removed himself once again from Judea and traveled east of the Jordan River and continued his ministry in an area known as Perea. That was distant enough from Jerusalem that Jesus and his disciples would be safe there, at least for a while. The events that take place at the close of Christ's ministry must always be viewed from this particular perspective. The wicked Jews were out to kill Jesus. Christ had been rejected by the people of Israel. Many saw him as a great prophet, but no one believed on him as the Messiah. The people did not want his kingdom. The people wanted an earthly Messiah and an earthly kingdom. And therefore, they were determined not to make Jesus their king any longer because he refused to be an earthly king. The rulers of the Jews saw Jesus as nothing more than an insurrectionist, a rebel. They felt it expedient for the sake of the nation of Israel and its peace with Rome to squelch this man. And if it took killing him to squelch him, well then, so be it. There were only precious few that actually believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, and the Son of the living God. And even these, as we find in the passage before us, did not fully understand what that meant. So we keep that in mind as we consider the events of this miracle this morning. If Christ were to travel to Jerusalem, the rulers there would bind him, and they were determined to destroy him, even to the point that they would kill him. It was dangerous, very dangerous for Jesus to be in Jerusalem, or in any village near to Jerusalem. That is why when word came from Bethany that his good friend Lazarus, whom Jesus loved very much, was sick and nigh unto death, The disciples were somewhat relieved when Jesus said nothing about it and did not depart to go to Bethany in order to heal Lazarus. They knew that Jesus loved Lazarus, and thought that he might go, and they were worried about that. But Jesus said nothing for 2 days. And then he informed his disciples that he was going to go to Bethany. Immediately that met with resistance. We read in verse 8 here of chapter 11, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" It was at this point that Jesus informed his disciples that Lazarus had died. We read in verses 11 through 15, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awaken him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." It was then that Thomas, who was forever a pessimist, said to his fellow disciples in reply to what Jesus had now said in verse 16, "Let us also go that we may die with him." With our text, we find Jesus arriving now in Bethany with a specific purpose in mind to raise Lazarus. And of all the miracles that Jesus now performs, here we find one that has conclusive proof of the divinity of Jesus Christ, that Christ was, in fact, the Son of God. There could be no question about this after this particular miracle. So we consider this morning the raising of Lazarus, the event, the significance, and the reaction. As we said, Jesus waited 2 days after hearing that Lazarus had taken sick before leaving. We also know without anyone, or Jesus also knew without anyone telling him, that Lazarus now had in fact died. That he had died before Jesus was going to leave to go into Perea. Must have taken Jesus a couple of days at least of travel before finally reaching Bethany. Because when he had arrived, according to verse 17, we found that he was dead already for 4 days. Many of the Jews from Jerusalem and the areas round about who had known Mary, Martha, and Lazarus had come to the home of Mary and Martha to comfort them in the loss of their brother, Lazarus. These were still there, or many of them were, when Jesus arrived. Evidently, the word that Jesus was coming preceded him, so that while he was yet on the way to the village of Bethany, Martha ran out to meet him along the way. Instead of remaining in the house, Martha, as was so typical also of her nature, hurried down the path in order to meet Jesus, while Mary, who was of a little bit more calm and quiet nature, remained still in the house. When Martha met Jesus along the way, she spoke the words of verses 21 and 22 of our text. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Now, by those last words there in verse 22, Martha did not mean to say that she believed that even now Jesus was able to raise Lazarus from the dead, and she expected him to do so. That Jesus would now raise Lazarus from the dead was probably the farthest thing from her mind. And that this is true is evident from her subsequent words to Jesus at the grave. We find that when Jesus commanded to take the stone away, then she said to Jesus, "No, Lord, He was dead. He's been dead for 4 days already. Don't take the stone away from the grave. She wasn't expecting him to raise Lazarus from the dead. So Jesus now tells Martha in answer to what she says, these beautiful words in verse 23, "Thy brother shall rise again." And then Martha, of course, misunderstanding what Jesus said, says to him, "Lord, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." She had the facts right. Just as you and I believe in the final resurrection from the dead, Martha believed in the final resurrection from the dead. "Yes, I know Lazarus will rise again at the end of time, the final resurrection." So it was then that Jesus spoke these words that we'll come back to a little bit later on too. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" And again, a beautiful confession comes from the mouth of Martha. "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ. I believe that you are the Son of God that should be sent forth into this world." But she had no idea what that confession fully implied. She still did not understand fully the power, the honor, the glory, and the divine authority that belonged to Jesus Christ. Even though Jesus at this point explains to her, "I am life and I am resurrection." Martha now leaves the pathway. She goes and runs back to the house, and she approaches Mary secretly and says to Mary, "The Lord wants you to come and meet him along the pathway." So Mary quickly arose and went to meet with him on the path to town. Mary, however, was not alone. Although Martha said this to her quietly in the house, nevertheless, a large group of people that were sitting in the house with her, mourning together with her, thought that Mary was now getting up and going to the grave in order to weep there some more. And they felt that they should be with her for support. So they all got up together and they followed Mary out of the house. So it was on that path yet that led to the town and the grave that Jesus now met Mary, Martha, in a large group of people, mourners. Mary came immediately to Jesus and repeated what was on her mind. Verse 32, the very last part. "Lord, if thou hadst been there here, my brother had not died." That was the big question, you see. It wasn't only in Martha's mind, but it was in Mary's mind too. And, mind you, it was in the mind of the other mourners. Verse 37, some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Why didn't Jesus come when he was sent for and heal Lazarus so that he would not die?" That was the big question. So, it's all repeated once again to Jesus. Such ignorance. Such unbelief. Would anyone ever believe that he was the Son of God come into human flesh? We read in verse 33 of Jesus' reaction now to the weeping and the mourning of Mary and Martha and the women. "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews which also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." And then a little later on, the same thing happened. After some of them had said, "Could not this man have healed Lazarus, verse 38, we read, "Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. He was groaning. He was troubled within. Why? You know, people of God, there is no doubt about it that Jesus felt a certain amount of sympathy, even empathy, for those who were mourning over Lazarus. We ought not to forget that Jesus was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And although he wasn't mourning over the death of Lazarus per se, he knew Lazarus was going to be raised. He wouldn't be crying because Lazarus was dead. Nevertheless, Christ understood Mary and Martha and what it was to lose a brother. And the pain and the sorrow and the grief that they were experiencing in their hearts. He knew it. He understood it. And it was that that troubled him. And then we read that short verse, Jesus wept. It was that made him cry. No doubt about it. Jesus has touched the feeling of our infirmities. And he understands when you and I experience sickness and disease and death in our lives. We can take our prayers to the Lord knowing that Jesus understands this. But you know, there's really another reason, even a deeper reason, that Jesus groaned within. Notice it was always in response to their weeping and their doubts that they expressed in him. Would they never believe in him? He groaned within himself because of the unbelief that he saw among these people. The fact that they were lost yet in their ignorance. That they did not truly know who he was and why he had come into this world. Even those, mind you, whom he loved so very, very much, just could not understand, it seems. He was the Son of God. He held the power concerning him. No one saw him as that divine Son of God. Their eyes, at this point anyway, were still closed to that. And for that reason, he groaned within himself and he was troubled at the reaction, you see. The reaction to who he was. They had now arrived. The grave lay before Jesus. It was a cave. And upon the mouth of the cave, as was typical, there was a large boulder that was rolled in front of it. Lazarus had been buried in the typical fashion of any other Jew. There were no modern means, of course, of preserving one's body. There were no chemicals that could be injected into the veins that would keep the body from decomposing quickly. And there was no big deep freeze where they could throw the body and freeze that body for a little while until which time they wanted to bury this man. For that reason, immediately upon the death of the person, that body was prepared for burial. Right away. They did not take time out because right away the body starts to decompose after it dies. Lazarus' body had been wrapped in grave clothes. The body would have been laying on its back and then starting from the foot, wrapped around its legs, through his body or torso, around his arms, and then upon his face, of course, a napkin would be tied. In between the layers of linen, as they wound that linen on the body, there were usually precious spices or ointments placed in order to disguise the stink of the decomposing body. And it was in that manner, too, that Lazarus was prepared for the grave and had now lain in the grave for 4 days. When Jesus came to the grave, he commanded immediately that the stone be taken away. Martha did not think, as we mentioned, that that was a very good idea. She responded in these words of verse 38-39. Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. 4 days in the grave. Hot cave, moist probably inside, with nothing to preserve the body. Well, in 4 days' time, that body was already decomposing rather rapidly and therefore stinking. Jesus rebuked her with these words of verse 40. Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God? And as a result, there were some that were near to that grave that obeyed the command of Jesus and rolled the stone away from the mouth of the sepulcher. Jesus now lifted up his eyes toward heaven and prayed. And he prayed not for himself that he might receive power in order to raise Lazarus. That's not the content of Christ's prayer. He was God's Son, and he was the resurrection and the life in himself. He had the power as the Son of God to raise one from the dead. But he prayed in this prayer on behalf of his people that were standing there and were about to witness the events that took place. I pray for them which stand by, that they might believe that I am sent into this world to save from sin and death, is in effect what Jesus prayed. And it was then that Jesus then, or now, looked into the mouth of the sepulcher and cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. There must have been dead silence around that sepulcher. Everyone was looking at the sepulcher to see if that man, who had been dead for 4 days, that all of them there had seen laid to rest in that sepulcher, would come back to life again. We read in verse 44, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Miracle of all miracles. Lazarus came out of that grave, still bound, mind you, in his grave clothes. Probably had to hop out of that grave. Imagine seeing with your very own eyes a dead man, one who had been laid to rest in the grave 4 days prior to this, now coming out of that grave alive. It defied all human understanding. Jesus, with just the call of his words, not even a touch of the body, with just his word, mind you, raise that man who had been dead for 4 days. Loose him and let him go. I think I would have had goosebumps and my spine would have been tingling to see all of this take place before my very eyes. Now, all of this makes, of course, for an interesting story. But the question we confront this morning is one that Christ asked Martha. Do you believe this? And when Jesus asked that question of Martha, it wasn't this. Martha, do you believe that I can perform a miracle? That's not the question that you and I confront today either. Do you believe that this miracle took place? I realize that in our day, most people would say, ridiculous. This miracle never did take place. Nice, interesting story, but that's all that it is. It's a myth. It's a story. It's not real. You and I know it is real. It's not a myth. We do believe that this miracle took place. That's not the question this morning. The question that you and I confront this morning is, do we believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life? The purpose of this miracle, Christ Himself makes clear when before He even left Perea to travel over to Bethany to heal Lazarus, He says to His disciples now in verse 4 of this chapter, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." And then a little later on, He said the same thing to Martha, when He said to her, "This is done in order that I might glorify myself, or that God might be glorified." Likens Himself to God, doesn't He? Because if Christ is glorified, then God is glorified, because Christ is God. But that was the purpose of this, you see. Christ performed this miracle in order that people might see and believe in His glory. Not God's glory per se, Christ's glory as the Son of God. Christ's glory. Glory. That's the shining forth of one's majesty and power, of one's honor, and of one's divine authority. To God be the glory, because God has such majesty and power and virtues and honor and divinity. So does Christ. This miracle was performed so that the people might see with their eyes Christ's glory as God, the glory that belonged to Him now as that divine Son of God. You see, it is exactly that no one seemed to understand. We mentioned that earlier. It is not as if those who mourned did not see Christ as a great prophet who could perform miracles. There were many men who were prophets that performed miracles, but they were mere men, and they received that power from God in order to perform those miracles. They didn't see Jesus in any other way than that He was but a mere man who received power from God in order to perform those miracles. That's the way that even Mary and Martha viewed Jesus. They believed that He was the Messiah, sure enough. They said that they believed in Him as the Son of God, but they didn't understand. They didn't understand. They didn't understand what it implied that Christ was, in fact, in His person, God. Everything that He seemed to have taught Himself just bounced off the head of people, it seemed. All those miracles that Christ performed, all of which proved that He was God, the Son of God, no one could quite recognize His power, the divine authority that belonged to Jesus as God. Well, this miracle was meant to prove without a doubt, conclusively, that Christ was indeed God. No one, after having witnessed this miracle, could say that Christ wasn't God. Even though they did. He had not merely received power of His Father, but the power was His. And it was His by virtue of His divinity. And this glory of Christ was revealed in this one most glorious and marvelous fact. Jesus is resurrection and Jesus is life. Mind you, Christ does not just possess life. Christ does not just possess the power to raise somebody from the dead. Christ is things. In the very essence of who He was, in His very nature as the Son of God, He is life. in Himself because He is life. And because He's life, Christ is resurrection as well. And there's no greater proof than that than Christ's own resurrection from the dead. This wasn't some power that God gave to Him as He might give it to some man. Jesus was wrapped in grave clothes, just like Lazarus was, with the napkin on his face and all, laid to rest in a sepulcher. The stone was rolled in front of it. There was no man that came to that sepulcher of Jesus Christ and raised Him from the dead. No man came there and said, roll the stone away, and then called out into his grave and said, Jesus, come forth from the dead. The fact of the matter is, when they looked inside Jesus' grave, those grave clothes were empty. The stone, mind you, hadn't even been rolled away yet, and Jesus had escaped from the grave. Jesus raised Himself from the dead. No man can do that. No mere man has life in himself in order that, being dead, he can raise himself back into life again. Jesus alone, as the divine Son of God, has that power. He is life, and He is resurrection. And all of that Christ explains now to Martha, which of course Martha could not grasp immediately because of the limitations of her faith. I am the resurrection and the life. Now, the rest of these this verse and the next is vital. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. All of what Jesus explains here, of course, He has accomplished through His death and resurrection. By His death, Christ has overcome death for you and me. By His resurrection, He lives to impart to you and me the blessings of salvation. And all of that is rooted in the relationship that we share with Jesus Christ by faith. Faith, believing in Jesus Christ. He that believes in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Or again, whoso liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. Christ here reveals the inseparable relationship between faith and the life that we receive from Him. Here's the idea of the Word of God here. Life is found in Christ. He is life. He is resurrection. As the Son of God and as the Savior, it belongs to Him. But He has also earned the right to bestow that life on others. And He did that through His death and through His resurrection. But the question is how does that life that is in Christ now become our life? How is it that we can live? Yes, we see how Christ Himself can live and raise Himself and others from the dead. But how does His life become ours? The answer is faith, the bond of faith. By means of faith, God grafts us into Jesus Christ and we become one living body with Him. Faith is that power of God by which He grafts us into Christ so that we become one with Him. We are in Christ. Well, that it naturally then follows, doesn't it? The life that is in Christ is going to flow forth out of Christ and those who are bound together with Him by faith. We who are members of His body receive that life that is in Christ so that we live in Him. That's the work of God, you see. And it's by means of that faith as well that we become conscious of that life that we have within us. Faith is a certain knowledge. Faith is a hearty confidence. We know that we live in Christ. We know that the blessings of salvation have been applied to you and to me by means of Christ's Spirit. We know that. We live. We live with the life of Christ. And that gives us confidence in life to go forth in that life of Christ too. All that is true because we are bound together with Jesus Christ. Our guilt is removed. The corruption of our flesh is overcome. Christ lives in us so that we live now. We live with the life of Christ. Striking, isn't it? That the life that you and I receive from Christ is not a life that's going to be ours when we die and we go to heaven. It's a life that we have right now. The life of Christ courses through our veins. And when we die, we only go from life to life. He that believes in me shall never die. What's death to you and to me? But a passageway from this world into the next, from the life that we have in Christ now to the life that we have in Christ in heaven. That's the life that Christ has given to us. Because He is resurrection and life. And oh yes, we ought not to forget that too. When we die, certainly our souls are taken to conscious glory. But let's not forget something. This miracle shows to you and to me an even greater miracle that's going to take place at the end of time. It's going to be the resurrection of our bodies from the dead. Our bodies are going to be laid in the grave when we die, and they'll decompose, and they'll disappear, it seems, in the grave, whether that be in the earth or whether that be in the waters. Fact is that when Jesus Christ comes at the end of time, He will speak one word, just like He did it at the grave of Lazarus. One word. Come forth! Bodies will come forth out of the graves. Why? Because Christ is resurrected. And Christ will call forth and will come forth from the grave and be raised unto life eternal in heaven. Immortal, no more sin. What a wonderful blessing, you see, is ours because Christ is resurrection and the life. As I said earlier, it's hard to imagine that anyone standing there at that grave of Lazarus and having seen him come back to life could not believe in Jesus Christ or would not. Hard to believe that. But as is always the case, those whom God has not chosen to life eternal cannot believe. God hasn't worked in their hearts. And they are blinded to Christ as the Son of God. Here's the reaction of those who stood by that grave of Lazarus and didn't believe. Verse 46. Some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Humph. Look what Jesus did now. We're going to the Pharisees. And we're going to let the Pharisees know what Jesus did. And then the Pharisees at that point said, this is it. We have to take counsel together. And they gathered together in this monstrous council. And they decided that was it. Jesus had to die. He had to die. Somehow, some way, had to die. As fantastic as all of this was, they went and reported it to the Pharisees of all people. They wouldn't believe. Unbelief is not uncommon today either, is it? You can hear of a fantastic miracle of this sort. The wicked world around us says, nice story. Another one of those myths of Christianity. We know that this can't happen. although they really try to portray it happening, don't they, in how many of their godless movies today of people coming back to life again in themselves and so on. Man, they like to make God. But they won't believe that with respect to Jesus Christ. Oh no, oh no. And you're fools if you do believe it. But even there are many in the church itself, you know, who refuse to see Jesus Christ as that one who has come to save from sin and from death. They would rather see him as a good humanitarian, but not as a savior. They may do that if they wish, but they have no hope in life. No hope whatsoever. That kind of hope is lost when you do not believe in Jesus Christ, because you see, that's the hope of every child of God, that Christ is coming again at the end of time and that He'll raise us incorruptible. But they have no hope, not in body or in soul. Christ has prayed for His people. And I knew that thou hearest me always. He's praying to God here, verse 42. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He prayed for His people, you see, that they might believe in the miracle that they now see. And then the reaction. Then many of the Jews, verse 45, which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on Him. A little later on in the Gospel accounts, we find that not only did the Sanhedrin want to kill Jesus, but they wanted to kill Lazarus too. And they wanted to kill Lazarus too because many people believed on Jesus because of that Lazarus. And therefore they hated Lazarus as well as they hated Jesus. But God's people believed when they saw this miracle. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. We believe that, beloved saints. We stand in awe before our all-powerful Savior, who has the very power of life and death in His hands. Ah, yes. He has the power over creation. He can still the winds and the waves. He has the power over devils, so that they have to obey His will. But He has the power to give life to you and to me. That's the Savior whom we serve. And because we believe, we shall live and never die. Amen. Father in heaven, we are thankful unto Thee for the great work that our Savior has done through His death and resurrection. Thankful as well, however, that we have life in Him and that Thou hast freely given us that life in Him. What a wonderful gift. Something we didn't deserve, because otherwise we would have died in our sin. And yet Thou hast in Thy grace shown mercy unto us and given us the life of Christ. Give unto us eyes, too, that see now, and hearts that believe. Keep us in this day. Guide us back again at the appointed time tonight. And wilt Thou bless us together as Thy children. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.